Chapter 3, Backworldsmen. Once on a time, Zarathustra also cast his fancy beyond man, like all backworldsmen. The work of a suffering and tortured god did the world then seem to me. The dream and diction of a god did the world then seem to me. Colored vapors before the eyes of a divinely dissatisfied one. Good and evil, joy and woe, and I and you. Colored vapors did they seem to me before creative eyes. The Creator wished to look away from himself. Thereupon, he created the world. Intoxicating joy is it for the sufferers to look away from his suffering and forget himself. Intoxicating joy and self-forgetting did the world once seem to me. This world, the eternally imperfect, an eternal contradiction's image, an imperfect image, an intoxicating joy to its imperfect creator, thus did the world once seem to me. Thus, once on a time, did I also cast my fancy beyond man, like all backworldsmen, beyond man, forsooth. Ah, you brethren, that God whom I created was human work and human madness, like all the gods. A man was he, and only a poor fragment of a man and ego. Out of mine own ashes and glow it came to me, that phantom. And verily, it came not to me from the beyond. What happened, my brethren? I surpassed myself, the suffering one. I carried mine own ashes to the mountain. A brighter flame I contrived for myself. And lo, thereupon the phantom withdrew from me. To me, the convalescent, would it now be suffering and torment to believe in such phantoms? Suffering would it now be to me, and humiliation. Thus I speak to backworldsmen. Suffering was it, an impotence, that created all backworlds, and the short madness of happiness, which only the greatest sufferer experience. Weariness, which seeks to get to the ultimate with one leap, with a death leap, a poor, ignorant weariness, unwilling even to will any longer. That created all gods and backworlds. Believe me, my brethren, it was the body which despaired of the body. It groped with the fingers of the infatuated spirit at the ultimate walls. Believe me, my brethren, it was the body which despaired of the earth. It heard the bowels of existence speaking to it. And then it sought to get through the ultimate walls with its head, and not with its head only, into the other world. But that other world is well concealed from man, that dehumanized, inhuman world, which is a celestial knot, and the bowels of existence do not speak to man, except as man. Verily, it is difficult to prove all being, and hard to make it speak. Tell me, you brethren, is not the strangest of all things best proved? Yea, this ego, with its contradiction and perplexity, speaks most uprightly of its being. This creating, willing, valuing ego, which is the measure and value of things. And this most upright existence, the ego, it speaks of the body and still implies the body, even when it muses and raves and flutters with broken wings. Always more uprightly it learns to speak, the ego. And the more it learns, the more does it find titles and honors for the body and the earth. A new pride taught me mine ego. And that teach I to men, no longer to thrust one heads into the sand of celestial things, but to carry it freely, a terrestrial head, which gives meaning to the earth. A new path will teach I to men, to choose that path which man has followed blindly, and to approve of it, and no longer to slink aside from it like the sick and perishing. The sick and perishing. It was they who despised the body and the earth, and invented the heavenly world. And the redeeming blood drops. But even those sweet and sad poisons they borrowed from the body and the earth. From their misery they sought escape, and the stars were too remote for them. Then they sighed. Oh, that there were heavenly paths by which to steal into another existence and into happiness. Then they contrived for themselves their bypass and bloody draughts. Beyond the sphere of their body and this earth, they now fancied themselves transported, these ungrateful ones. But to what did they owe the convulsion and rapture of their transport? To their body and this earth. Gentle is Zarathustra to the sickly. Verily, he is not indignant at their modes of consolation and ingratitude. May they become convalescents and overcomers and create higher bodies for themselves. Neither is Zarathustra indignant at a convalescent who looks tenderly on his delusions and at midnight steals round the grave of his god, but sickness and a sick frame remain even in his tears. Many sickly ones have there always been among those who muse and languish for God. Violently they hate the discerning ones and the latest of virtues, which is uprightness. Backward they always gaze towards the dark ages. Then indeed were delusion and faith something different. Raving of the reason was likeness to God, and doubt was sin. Too well do I know these godlike ones. They insist on being believed in, and that doubt is sin. Too well also do I know what they themselves most believe in. Verily, not in back worlds and redreaming blood drops, but in the body do they also believe most, and their own body is for them the thing in itself. But it is a sickly thing to them, and gladly would they get out of their skin. Therefore hearken they to the preachers of death, and themselves preach back worlds. Hearken rather, my brethren, to the voice of the healthy body. It is a more upright and pure voice. More uprightly and purely speaks the healthy body, perfect and square built, and it speaks of the meaning of the earth. Thus spoke Zarathustra. Chapter 4. The Despisers of the Body. To the despisers of the body will I speak my word. I wish them neither to learn afresh nor teach anew, but only to bid farewell to their own bodies, and thus be dumb. Body am I, and soul, says the child. And why should one not speak like a child? But the awakened one, the knowing one, says, body am I entirely, and nothing more. And soul is only the name of something in the body. The body is a big sagacity, a plurality with one sense, a war and a peace, a flock and a shepherd. An instrument of your body is also your little sagacity, my brother, which you call spirit, a little instrument and plaything of your big sagacity. Ego, say you, and are proud of that word. But the greater thing, in which you are unwilling to believe, is your body with its big sagacity. It says not ego, but does it. What the sense feels, what the spirit discerns, has never its end in itself. But sense and spirit would fain persuade you that they are the end of all things. So vain are they. Instruments and playthings are sense and spirit. Behind them, there is still the self. The self seeks with the eyes of the senses. It hearkens also with the ears of the spirit. Ever hearkens a self and seeks. It compares, masters, conquers, and destroys. It rules and is also the ego's ruler. Behind your thoughts and feelings, my brother, there is a mighty lord, an unknown sage. It is called self. It dwells in your body. It is your body. There is more sagacity in your body than in your best wisdom. And then who knows why your body requires just your best wisdom? Yourself laughs at your ego and its proud prancings. What are these prancings and flights of thought to me, it says to itself, a byway to my purpose? I am the leading string of the ego and the prompter of its notions. The self says to the ego, feel pain, and thereupon it suffers and thinks how it may put an end thereto, and for that very purpose it is meant to think. The self says to the ego, feel pleasure. Thereupon it rejoices and thinks how it may ofttimes rejoice, and for that very purpose it is meant to think. To the despisers of the body will I speak a word. That they despise is caused by their esteem. What is it that created esteeming and despising and worth and will? The creating self created for itself esteeming and despising. It created for itself joy and woe. The creating body created for itself spirit as a hand to its will. Even in your folly and despising, you each serve yourself, you despisers of the body. I tell you, your very self wants to die and turns away from life. No longer can yourself do that which it desires most, create beyond itself. That is what it desires most. That is all its fervor. But it is not too late to do so. So yourself wishes to succumb, you despisers of the body. to succumb, so wishes yourself, and therefore have you become despisers of the body, for you can no longer create beyond yourselves. And therefore are you now angry with life and with the earth, and unconscious envy is a sidelong look of your contempt. I go not your way, you despisers of the body. You are no bridges for me to the Superman. Thus spoke Zarathustra.